والعاقبة للمتقين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through three obligatory matters which every person has to learn and implement. And what was the first matter, the first principle? What was the first matter, the first principle? Suleiman? Summarize it in your words.
Allah created us to worship.
Naam. Allah created us, He provides for us, He gave us a purpose. How do we know the purpose? Through the sending of the prophets and the messengers. And the purpose is al-ibadah. And then the second principle, Suleiman? No. So this objective for which He created us, meaning al-ibadah, then if it is sent, if ibadah is done to anybody else besides Allah, then it is shirk and kufr. Why did the author mention neither any angel brought near nor any prophet sent as a messenger? Daud? So min babi awla. If it's not permitted for somebody to worship an angel like Jibreel alayhi salam, and he's the best of the angels, nor is a person allowed to worship a prophet like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's the best of the people, then anybody who's besides them, a person is not allowed to worship. And the proof is the saying of Allah, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, that the places of worship for Allah are for Allah alone, so do not invoke anybody besides Him. And the third principle, طيب.
Allah is not pleased for the people who of iman to love the non-Muslims.
Naam. So this principle is al-wala wal-bara, loving and hating for the sake of Allah, and associating and disassociating for the sake of Allah. Meaning, it's not enough for a person to follow the Sunnah, to worship Allah alone, to stay away from shirk. Additional to this is he has to love for the sake of Allah, he has to hate for the sake of Allah. He has to make alliances for the sake of Allah, and he has to disassociate for the sake of Allah. So he has to love Tawheed, and he has to love the people of At-Tawheed, and he has to love the call to At-Tawheed. He has to hate Ash-Shirk and Kufr, and the people of Shirk and Kufr, and he has to hate the call to Ash-Shirk and Al-Kufr. So this third principle, this is from the rights of At-Tawheed. The rights of Tawheed is then loving the people of Tawheed, loving its message, and hating the people of Kufr and its message and Kufr in of itself. And then the ayah was mentioned from Surah Al-Mujadala. Then we went through the meaning of Al-Hanifiyya. So, Suleiman, what's the meaning of Al-Hanifiyya?
A path built upon Tawheed and away from
Shirk. Al-Milla, Al-Milla, Al-Mabniya ala Tawheed, Al-Ma'ila ni Shirk. The path which is built upon Tawheed and away from a shirk, and it is the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ma kana Ibrahim Yahudiyan, wala Nasraniyan, walakin kana Hanifan Muslima. Ibrahim was not Yahudi, neither was he Nasrani, rather he was Hanifan Musliman. وَمَا كَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and he was not from the people of Ash-Shirk. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention the word Tawheed in the Qur'an?
No.
He doesn't mention in of itself, the word itself, At-Tawheed, is not mentioned in the Qur'an. In its place, which word is mentioned? Al-Ibadah. So whenever Allah mentions the word Ibadah or Ya'budun or Ta'budu or A'budu, then it means At-Tawheed. And what's the evidence for this? Anybody? Ya'budun, okay. So what's the evidence? وَمَعْنَا يَعْبُدُونَ يُوَحِّدُونَ, and this is what Ibn Abbas said. Ibn Abbas said, وَمَعْنَا يَعْبُدُونَ يُوَحِّدُونَ, the meaning of يَعْبُدُونَ is يُوَحِّدُونَ, meaning التوحيد. Then after this, in today's lesson, we come to the first of the three principles and the first question in the grave, which is مَنْ رَبُّكَ. He said, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَا هِيَ الْأُصُولُ الثَّلَاثَةَ الَّتِي يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ مَعْرِفَتُهَا وَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ مَعْرِفَتُهَا. If it is said to you, What are the three principles which each person must know? فَقُلْ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ بِرَبِّهِ وَدِينِهِ وَنَبِيِّهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The three principles are: a person has to have knowledge of his Lord, a person has to have knowledge of his religion, and a person has to have knowledge of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is now the first principle. فَإِذَا قِلَ لَكَ مَنْ رَبُّكَ. If it is said to you, who is your Lord? And the meaning of مَنْ رَبُّكَ, who is your Lord, أي مَنْ مَعْبُودُكَ, أي who is the one who you worship. So believing that Allah is a Rabb in of itself is not sufficient. And this isn't the point behind the question in the grave. So if somebody believes Allah is a Rabb, Allah is the Lord, and then he worships others besides him, he won't be able to answer the question. Even if he believed and he knew about Allah, if he performed actions of shirk, then in the grave he will not be able to answer this question. So the whole point behind this question, man rabbuk, is man ma'buduk. Who is your Lord? Meaning, who is the one that you worship? And this word ar-rabb, it comes from the word at-tarbiyah. Rabba yurabbi at-tarbiyah. And at-tarbiyah, it means to cultivate and to bless and to provide for, sustain, to take care of, to maintain. This is the meaning of ar-rabb. And for this reason, the author, he said, من ربك فقل ربي الله الذي رباني وربى جميع العالمين بنعمه. He said, my Lord is Allah who has nurtured me. I nurtured me, maintained me, sustained me, provided for me, takes care of me, and he nurtures all of creation with his blessings. وهو معبودي, and he is the one who I worship. وليس لي معبود سواه, and I do not have any deity that I worship besides him. So look, the first benefit from this is the meaning of who is your Lord is meaning means who is the one that you worship. Man rabbuk ay man ma'buduk. Secondly, the meaning of ar-rabb. Ar-rabb is from the verb rabba yurabbi tarbiya, which means to maintain and nurture and sustain and create and provide for. And that's why the author said, my Rabb is Allah, the one rabbani, he has nurtured me. وَرَبَّ جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ, and he has nurtured all of creation with his blessings. وَهُوَ مَعْبُودِي, and he is the one who I worship. So this shows us that Rabb is al-ma'bud. وَلَيْسَ مَعْبُودٌ سِوَى, and there is no other deity who I worship besides him. What is the evidence for this? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi, all praises for Allah, Rabbil Alameen. He is the Rabb of all of creation. Also when Fir'aun, when he asked Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam, he said, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا, who is your Rabb, who is your Lord? They said, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَ ثُمَّ هَدَى, that our Lord is the one who has given everything its creation and who guides them. So this is the meaning of ar-Rabb. He said, everything besides Allah is a created being and I am one of creation. If it is said to you, بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ, how have you come to know of your Lord? Meaning, why is Allah your Lord? Why is He the one that you worship? Why don't you worship Jesus? Why don't you worship this idol? Why don't you worship the sun or the moon or a stone or a person in a grave? Why is it Allah who you worship? How did you come to know of Him? Then say, through His signs and His creation. He said, from his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon, and from his creation are the seven heavens and the earths and all that is within them and whatever is between them. The question here is, he said, through his signs and his creation. آياته وخلقه. So the author differentiates between signs and creation of Allah. Then when he mentions the sign of Allah and the creation of Allah, he said, from his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Are these things also not creation of Allah? So the author said his signs and his creation. Then he mentioned that his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon and the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything which is within them and between them. But obviously his night, the night and the day and the sun and the moon is also the creation of Allah. So why does the author differentiate between ayat and makhluqat? or what is the difference between the signs and the creation? The question is open to anybody. Efran? Anybody?
Signs recommend they go.
Good. And makhlouqat?
Remain.
So, the answer is, Jazakallah khair, the answer is that the ayat, the signs of Allah change. And that's why they're stronger signs. And that's what Allah often mentions. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. From His signs is the night and the day. I.e. the changing of the night and the day. And the sun and the moon. So, the day goes away and the night comes. Then the night goes away and the day comes. The sun appears and the moon disappears. Then the moon disappears and the sun appears. The rain comes and it goes away. The winds come and they go away. All of these are ayat of Allah, even though they are also His creation. As for His creation, then it is there and stable. So the earth is His creation, but the earth remains. It doesn't appear or disappear. And the skies and the heavens, all of this is from the creation of Allah. What is a greater evidence for Allah? His signs. Because Allah is the one who is making them change. So, how does a person know of the existence of Allah? Through one of four ways. How can we prove that Allah is our Lord, or Allah exists, or there is a creator out there? Through one of four evidences. The first of them is al-aql, your intellect, a person's logic. A person's intellect and logic, if you look and you ponder and you think over the signs and the creation of Allah, it proves that Allah exists, or there is a creator or a supreme being. Secondly, al-his. And al-his is that which you sense, that which you can see, that which you can touch, that which you feel. A person makes dua and then the dua is answered. All of this is a proof for the existence of a creator. Thirdly, al-fitrah. The natural, innate disposition of a person is that there is a creator out there. And fourthly, al-shara'. The evidences of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So all of these evidences which are in the Qur'an and the truthfulness of the Qur'an and also the prophecies which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made, and all of them came true, are becoming true. All of this proves the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we prove the existence of the Supreme Being, the Creator Allah? Through one of four ways. Al-aql, a person's logic and intellect. Al-his, a person's perceptions and senses. Al-fitrah, that which Allah, the innocent nature that every single person is created upon. And finally, al-shara', the evidences of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. He said, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence is the saying of Allah, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. And from His signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. Do not prostrate to the sun nor the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them if you truly worship Him. So if a person is asked by a non-Muslim, why do you worship Allah? Why don't you worship Jesus? Why don't you worship this idol? Why don't you person this saint? Why don't you worship the sun or the moon? Then the answer is simple. Allah said in the Quran, He said, لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. Do not prostrate in front of the sun or the moon. وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ. Rather, prostrate in front of Allah who created them. So even that person who worships Jesus, if you ask him, do you believe Jesus created all of the world? He'll say, no, I don't believe Jesus created all of the world. Do you believe right now life and death is in the hands of Jesus? He'll say, no, we don't believe. The people who worship the idols say to him, did you create the idol? Does the idol create you? No, we created the idol. Does the idol decree everything? Is it all powerful? No, it's not all powerful. Even the idol worshippers can do this. Those who worship the sun and the moon, those who worship the people in the grave or the saints, if you say to them, who created everything? Did these saints create everything, or did something create the saints? Even their own worshippers will say, no, we know that they didn't create everything. But if you ask a Muslim, why do you worship Allah? Because Allah created us, Allah created me, and Allah provides, and Allah sustains, and life is in His hands, and death is in His hands. And this is the reason why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't worship neither Jesus, nor Muhammad, nor the Holy Spirit, nor any idols, or stones, or trees. And this is taken from the saying of Allah, وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ. Rather, prostrate in front of the one who created all of them. إن كنتم إياه تعبدون, if you are truly going to worship him. Then the author, he mentioned the next ayah, إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام. Verily your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then he ascended above the arsh. He causes the night to cover the day, which it follows with haste, and the sun and the moon and the stars are subservient and subject to his command. Certainly creation and commandment are for Allah alone. He said, Tabarakallahu Rabbil Alameen, exalted is Allah, the Lord of the creation. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason why we worship him is because he created the heavens, he created the earth, he ascended over the throne, he caused the night to change, the day to change, the sun to come, the moon to come, and the stars. And this is why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, there is a principle which the author mentions, وَالْرَبْ هُوَ الْمَعْبُودِ, that الرَّبْ, he's the one who is worshipped. Like I said, it isn't sufficient for a person to just believe in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. If a person says, yes, I believe Allah is Ar-Rabb and Al-Khaliq and Malik, this isn't enough, because the Quraysh used to also believe this. But you have to worship him alone. So even if a person believes Allah is Ar-Rabb and Allah is Al-Khaliq and Allah is the Malik, but then he worships others besides Allah, then this is kufr and shirk, and that person is not a Muslim, even if he believes that Allah is Ar-Rabb. Because the whole point is, the principle is Ar-Rabb huwa al-Ma'bud. The Lord, he's the one who you worship. He's the one who is worshipped. The proof of this is the saying of Allah the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O mankind, worship your Lord who has created you and those who came before you, so you may have at-taqwa. He is the one who made the earth a resting place for you, and the sky as a canopy, and he sent down water from the sky and brought forth therewith fruits as a provision for you. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not set up rivals to Allah, meaning partners in worship, and you know. In the Quran, often as a principle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves his uluhiyya by mentioning his rububiyya. This is a principle in at-tafsir. In principle in tafsir is, in the Quran we find that Allah, he always uses his rububiyya to prove his uluhiyya. What does that mean? We already said that the mushrikun of Quraysh, they used to accept that Allah created the heavens and the earth, and Allah created the sun and the moon, and he gives life and death. So therefore, what is the benefit in Allah mentioning it again and again and again in the Quran? If the Quraysh already accepted that Allah created all of this, then why does Allah mention this in so many ayat, that he is the Rabb and he created you and he created those who came before you and he created the earth and the sky and the sun and the moon? Why does Allah mention all of these assets of his rububiyyah to prove his uluhiyyah? That if you, O Quraysh, if you accept that Allah is the creator of all of these things, and life and death and sight and hearing and the decrees in his hands, then you have to accept his uluhiyyah. Then you have to worship him alone. And this is a principle which the ulama mention, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah yastalzim Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah yastalzim Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. That Tawheed al-Rububiyyah necessitates Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. If you accept that Allah is the Rabb and the Khaliq and the Malik, what does this necessitate from you? That you have to worship him alone. It's no good believing in all of this and then you perform a shirk. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, it necessitates from you, it expects from you, it obligates upon you Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, meaning that you have to worship him alone. And for this reason, a person does not accept Islam by merely affirming that Allah is the Rabb or the Khaliq or the Malik. Rather, he has to worship him alone. And this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 21, it's in the third or the fourth page of Surah Al-Baqarah, it contains the first command of the Mus'haf and the first prohibition of the Mus'haf. If you open the Mus'haf and you start from Surah Al-Fatiha, come at the first command, the first wajib is mentioned in this ayah. And the first haram is mentioned in this ayah. Before all of this, the 7 ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha and the 20 ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah which came before this, they don't mention any command or any prohibition. So what is the first command mentioned in this ayah? Then do not set up rivals. Ya ayyuhan nas su'budu rabbakum. O people, worship your Lord. This is the first command. Ya ayyuhan nas su'budu rabbakum. O mankind, O people, worship your Lord. What is the first nahi? What is the first haram which is mentioned in this ayah? فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not set up rivals, partners. Do not perform a shirk. So if a person asks you, what is the first command in the Mus'haf? It is the command to At-Tawheed. What is the first prohibition in the Mus'haf? It is the prohibition against a shirk. And this also shows us the importance and the virtue of At-Tawheed. And again in this ayah, you see, Allah mentions His Rububiyyah. He created you. His Rububiyyah. He created those who came before you. He made the earth a resting place. He made the sky as a canopy over you. He sends water from the skies. He brings fruits and vegetation from the earth. All of this is a Rububiyyah. Why did Allah mention this? To prove His Uluhiyyah. Therefore, worship Allah alone. Therefore, do not ascribe partners to Him. So memorize this principle. Tawheed Rububiyyah yastalzimu Tawheed Al-Uluhiyyah. That Tawheed Rububiyyah, it necessitates Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Otherwise, what is the point in believing that Allah is the Rabb and the Khaliq and the Malik and He created the earth and the sky and He sends the fruit and the vegetation? What's the point in all of this if then you perform a shirk? Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, he said, Al-Khaliq lihadhihi al-ashya huwa al-mustahiqu lil-ibadah. That the one who created these objects, he is the one who is deserving of worship. If you are asked, why do you worship Allah? The answer is, because the one who created all of these things, that's why we worship Him. You, the worshippers of Jesus, you even believe Jesus did not create all of these things. And those who worship the saints and the idols, they believe that the saints and the idols did not create all of these things. And those who worship the worshippers of the sun, they believe that the sun does not create all of this. And therefore, it's illogical for them to worship all of these things. As for us Muslims, we believe Allah is the one who created all of these things. Ibn Kathir said, Al-Khaliq lihadhi al-ashya. That the principle is, the one who has created all of these objects, huwa al-mustahiqu lil-ibadah, he is the one who is deserving of being worshipped. We leave it at that. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.